Tonight's shir is, it triggered me. Many people in shul have the obvious question when somebody takes their seat, and beside the fact that a person feels braygus, they have inside their heart the idea that makom kavua, and they may not know where the source of this idea of makom kavua comes from, but they've heard it from somewhere. Besides, they're that righteous indignation of like, get out of my seat. You don't belong here. It's not yours. Especially if somebody actually pays membership in the shul and they're comfortable where they're sitting. What is the right thing to do? Should one kick the person out of their seat and make perhaps them feel a little bit bad, but at the end of the day, it's my seat, or have to inconvenience themselves the whole davening? That is the question. It's true. That's the first question. Now, when does this whole idea of makom kavua apply? So when you look into the topic, you'll see a lot was spoken about this in the Rishonim and the Achronim. We're going to start off with the Gemara and Brachos. The Gemara and Brachos brings down on Dav Vavam with Beis by the underline, page 1. Amar Bechelboi, Amar Mechuno, call it kaveya makom utvilah. So anybody who's kaveya, a place for him to daven, elikei Avram be'ezrei. The God of Avram is be'ezrei, is going to help him. What does that mean? The same way Hashem helped Avram, he's going to help you. How did Hashem help Avram? How did Hashem help Avram? Anybody knows? How did Hashem help Avram? No?
He saved him from the fire from Nimrod.
Saved him from the fire from Nimrod, okay. That's pretty good. Saved his life. Gave him a child. And what happens after this person dies? Ukashemes, when this person dies, I remember what they say about him. Hey, Anav, what an Anav he is. Hey, Chassid, what a Chassid. The Talmidim of Avram Avinu is from the Talmidim of Avram Avinu. The Gemara asks, how do we know that Avram davened? Avram Avinu menal on the cover of Mokim. How do we know Avram was Kaveh HaMokim? It's written, Ve'ashkim Avram HaBoiker, HaMokim Asher Amasham. Avram got up in the morning to the place that he stood. Ve'en Amidah o Tfilah. What is Amidah? Amidah is Tfilah. So Pinchas daven because by follow the lashon of tefillah, and therefore since we find that Avram daven, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu helped Avram, so therefore we see over here that a person who is kaveh makom, the same way Avram was kaveh makom. Now, in the context of the story that the pasuk brings down, the pasuk says that he davened the place that he stood before. Now, you're going to ask me, well, does that mean you only need twice to be able to make it a makom kavua? Meaning, you...
Because
the pasuk says, Allah makim asher amasham. He went to the place that he stood. It doesn't just say that he stood. It's in the place. It's in the place that he stood. It's in the place that he stood. Now, this is referring to, interestingly enough, this pasuk is by Sudaim. And Avram davened that the people of Sudaim should be saved. And the people weren't saved. Vayashkim Avram b'vaykar al-makom asher amar sham esnei Hashem. And Vayashiv of Nez Zudayim, and he looked at Zudayim. So he was davening before Hashem. Now, in what way did Hashem answer his tefillah? He said, no. He's like, I'm not saving Zudayim. So one has to think about, we're using this prophet to show that this is the place that he saved light. And you can say that's part of the part of the thing that was answered. One has to think about this. Right, but that's considered answering Avram's tefillah. The whole word that we're saying is, in the pasuk, the Gemara is saying that Alekei Avram ba'oyisrei, the God of Avram is going to help him. And Rashi says very clearly, the same way Hashem helped Avram, he's going to help this individual. Okay, one has to know. But at the end of the day, we see you have to be kaveh makom. Now, that's the Gemara of Dav Vavam Beis. And the Gemara brings down, and Dav Zayin Beis, in the next paragraph, Vavam Rav Yechon HaMashem Rav Shem Bar Yechai, called Kaveh Makom Tefillah, and anybody who's Kaveh placed it for his Tefillah, not only, as the Gemara said, they call him after his death. What a chassid are you of Avram Avinu, a Talmud of Avram, what type of anav? Not only that, Oivav Naifum Tachtav, his enemies fall underneath him, Shenemar, V'Samti Makom Amin Yisrael, V'Natati V'Sherechein Tachtav, L'Irgat Oivav Yisiv, V'Ne'avav, V'Naitav Yisheb Rishayna. The Gemara brings down the passage that shows us that anybody who's kaveh in a place for him to daven, his enemies are gonna fall away. And they bring a different verse that it's not referring to davening; it's referring to learning. You're kaveh in a place that you learn in the same place. That if you're kaveh that you learn in the same place, your enemies fall. But the partial verse that we have is, it's a good thing. Your enemies fall if you kaveh a makom. And one has to ask himself, what is the big deal? I mean, what are you doing that's so good by being kaveh a makom? And how are you an anav, and how are you a chassid by the fact that you're davening in the same place? You're an anav. I'm davening in the same place. That makes me an anav. I'm a chassid. Talmud of Avraham Avinu. Those are the Gemara and Brachos and Davavam Adveiz, Davzayim Adveiz. The Gemara in Brachos, in Yerushalmi, bring down a very similar, and not only is it similar, it's bringing down from the same member, the same person, on that Vav and Beit. Amar Rav Chelbay Amar Rav Huna, Rav Chelbay said in the name of Rav Huna, anybody who's Teveya, Amakim with Tevilasai, excuse me, I said it wrong, I was quoting the wrong place. The Yerushalmi is on page 2, and the Yerushalmi is not in the name of Rav Chelbay, in the name of Huna. First, if we go to the Yerushalmi, which is on page 2, it's Rav Abba, Rav Chia, B'Shem Rebbe Yochanan. It says, Tarach Adam was followed by Makim Shum Yuchel Tzvila. A person has to daven in the place that's Yuchel Tzvila. How? Do we know? Matam. As the Pasuk says, B'chom Makim Asher Asker Shemiyah. Asher Tasker Shemi Inkan, Ela B'chol Makim Asher Asker. The Gemara makes a drasha that you have to have a place that's miyuchad to daven in order to, the way you're supposed to daven is to be a makim that's miyuchad to daven. But then, miyuchad means that it's a specific place to daven. You have a specific place. So the Pnei Moshe brings down Beit HaKnesses, daven and shul instead of davening out of shul, which means, what about a person who wants to have a kalbach minyan in the house? It's not a basic necessity. It's supposed to be miyuchad for tefillah, a place that's what we do there. And then the next memra is Amar of Tamkum Baruch Tachanino, Tzorach Adam Leiyach Leimakim, the basic necessity is power. A person has to be miyachad makim in this basic necessity. That means, as the Pnei Moshe explains, not only that you're davening in one place and another place, in the Beis Knesses, you have to daven in one place. And we're going to see it's not the Pashat, this Yerushalmi. So we have the Gemara that says, you're Kaveya Makim with Tfilah, right? And then the Yerushalmi that says two things. You have to have a Miyachid Makim that's Miyuchah for Tfilah, which is the Beis Knesses. And the second thing is, even in the Beis Knesses, you should have a specific place to daven. And you would think, what's the big deal by saying this way and that way? You're going to see it's going to actually be a Machoikis in the Rishonim, between the Rosh and Rabbeinu Yoina, what is the Ikar? Let's go back to the third paragraph on page 1, which is Rabbeinu Yoina. Rabbeinu Yoina brings down from the Rif the Memra from Rav Chelbay in the name of Rav Huna, and Rabbeinu Yoina brings down two Ha'aretz. The first thing Rabbeinu Yoina holds is that it's not talking about a shul. It's not talking about a shul. Why? Because a shul is a makim tefillah. And if it's a makim tefillah, you could daven wherever you want in the shul. Says Rabbeinu Yoina, by the hand, Loyomer Zevim Kam Yishol Beis HaKnesses, Tekim Yishikul Makim Tefillah, He Ema Hakurim Yishiv, Pamim B'Zavizu, Pamim B'Zu. The guy wants to sit in one place and another place, who cares? You're in shul, and you're in a makim tefillah. And if you're in a makim tefillah, there's no problem. This whole Gemara is speaking about not in shul. When you're at home, that's where you're supposed to do. And he says that this is exactly what Yerushalmi says. Now, we just read a Yerushalmi which doesn't say this. Yerushalmi actually says just the opposite in our Gersa. But Rabbeinu Yonah says, V'hachi mashma v'Yerushalmi, d'garsin n'hazam, k'ol k'vei amakim with filosai, b'beisai. Anybody k'vei amakim for his filah, b'beisai, in his house. Doesn't say that in our Yerushalmi. In our Yerushalmi, he says, first you have to have a makam yuchad for tefillah, which is Nei Moshe said in Shu. And then the next part of Yerushalmi was that even in Shu, you should have a specific place where you go. Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, b'veisai, in your house, what's the pshat? Meaning, you have to make it that it's like you're surrounded with a machitza of barzel. Nothing could block you. There's no distraction. Your house, your kids, the television, I didn't know what that is. You have to have it completely separate, that you have a makim for tefillah. So according to the way Rabbeinu Yonah understands it, the whole reason why you're being kaveh makim is because you want to make a makim tefillah, a place of prayer, not a place of house. So you have to have a makim. That's the way Rabbeinu Yonah understands the place. You have to have a makim tefillah. If you're davening in a shul, you have a makim tefillah. Therefore, you can daven wherever you want. Just sheet this Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah says, this kedai to note, he asks, what is this whole big deal of a chassid, a tamid of Shal Avraham Avinu? And he says this fascinating insight, which is, I believe, built on two foundations. The first thing he says is that, of course, it's not about being kaveh amakim. Kaveh amakim, all of a sudden like that, that makes you, wow, great. All of a sudden, you're kaveh amakim, you're a chassid, you're an anav, tamid of Shal Avraham Avinu. So if you take a look, in Rabbeinu Yonah, this is on page 1, where it says Rabbeinu Yonah, but we get to the fifth wide line. Rabbeinu Yonah says, V'yeshleimah. Shleimah mubavu k'viyas ha-makim bopad. It's not because you were k'viyas ha-makim. That's not the pshat of this Gemara. He's taking it out of context. El right, Shleimah means to say. Shekolam is daktik, the tefillah. So anybody who's careful about his tefillah, not only is he careful when he comes to daven, he's careful, says Rabbeinu Yonah, Shekolam is daktik, the tefillah. The makam yuchad. He wants the tefillah so good that it's in a specific place. He shows how much he loves davening. If you love davening, you have to be an anav. There is no way to love davening unless you're an anav. A prerequisite for loving davening is anivus. He says, if somebody loves tefillah, vabi midat anav yesh boy. In order for a tefillah to be accepted, because if you have a nevus, then your tefillah is accepted. How? Because the pasuk in Kapitel Nun Alf, pasuk Yotes and Tehillim, Nun Alf Yotes and Tehillim says, Zivchi alekim ruach nishbara. What is a carbon? A broken heart. So here he explains, what is a real tefillah? What is a tefillah the way it's supposed to be? With a broken heart. A broken heart connotes having humbleness. If you're humble, that's what tefillah is. Now, if you love tefillah, you're going to do it the right way. And how do you show that you love tefillah? That you're so makbid on your davening. So if you're so makbid on your davening, that you're ready to even have a place, that's a specific place, every single place, time you daven, that shows that you're makbid on your davening. If you're makbid on your davening, that means you love davening. And if you love davening, that has to equal that you understand what tefillah is, which is a broken heart. That means you're humble. And that's what the Gemara meant when the Gemara says of this person.
But if you, I'm sorry, but shouldn't you be level on your cover that if someone's coming in to see what's in your seat because you're humble? You have a nevus?
No, you're saying, you're saying.
I'm saying it's the opposite.
That's the opposite. If you would be really humble, you wouldn't be makbid on your seat.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. It wasn't speaking about, nowhere did the Gemara speak about should you kick the person out of your seat or not. The Gemara is saying that you just choose to be able to go into the same place. We'll talk about that question. It's a very fair and good question. And Rabbi Yitzchak Silberstein in Chashuk HaChemet speaks about it, and we're going to speak about it. But Rabbi Yonah is definitely a chiddush nifla ad ma'oid that he's saying. The point is, if you are showing how much you love tefillah, and loving tefillah must mean that you understand what tefillah is, which means zivchei lekim ruach nishbara, then that means you're anav and you're such a chassid of tamid of Avraham Avinu. Hard thing to understand, but this is what Rabbeinu Yonah says. The Rosh argues. The Rosh says clearly, not like that. Rabbeinu Yonah says it doesn't make a difference once you're davening a shul, where you daven. The point is, you have to have a makom tefillah You have to have a place of tefillah, a place where you're not going to be bothered. As he explained, in your house, you have to be able to, like, surround it with mechizah shel barzel, standing in your dining room with all the kids on top of you. That's the exact opposite. The Rosh says, exactly, don't say that. The Rosh, page 2 on the second column, says, Loi boi lemei marshi, ragul espalo besek nes achas. Don't say that it's coming to teach you that if you daven in one base Knesset, it's okay. But if you're in one shul in two places, it's okay. No! Because the Yerushalmi says that you have to have a makim in your base Knesset. And the Yerushalmi has he brings down the second member of Rav Tamkon Bar Chanina and the Yerushalmi, that you have to have not just a makam yuchad for tefillah, you have the specific makam in the Beis Knesset itself. In the Beis Knesset itself. So the Rosh is, I know Rabbeinu Yonah. He's saying, Rabbeinu Yonah, you're saying that in the shul you can have whoever you want. The Rosh, no. In the Yerushalmi, he doesn't say that. That means, now, it's not so schwer for Rabbeinu Yonah to learn up the Bavli this way and for the Yerushalmi to hold something else. But the Rosh is saying that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi don't argue with each other. And therefore,
what if you have a makom kavua for shacharis in the same place as shul every day? And for minhag, you have a different.
That's a great question. That's a very practical halachic question. We're going to get to that as well. It's a very good question. It is a good question because that's really what we want to get to. I just want to give a little bit of a build up of where these things came from. So let's go to the basic halacha for a second, and then we're going to go to three tshuvas, two from the Rosh and one from the Rivash. We'll see what we could get to in the next few minutes. In Siman Tzadi, Halacha Yotes, Sif Yotes, it says, Yitba makam l'tfilah, so he should be kaveh makam for his tfilah, shalei shaneu im l'tzerech. He shouldn't change it unless he has a tzerech. But right away it said over here, if he has a tzerech, he could change it. The end item mashik boleh basic netzel is follows. It's not good enough that you're in shul. Al gam basic netzel shikavua, but even in the shul that you kaveya tzarek shiyeh makam kavua, even in the basic netzel you have to have a makam kavua. Mishabur azan, of course, in your house you also have a place that your house is not going to bother you. The mishabur also adds on another thing that within four amos is considered your makam. Within four amos is considered your makam, which is going to answer many people's questions. About, well, should I kick out a guy out of my seat? Well, if it's a mitzvah din of makam kavua, now mitzvah the fact that you pay for that seat and you're comfortable and you feel uncomfortable, that could be a very good cheshbon. I'm not saying that that's a cheshbon that you should throw away. I've seen very, very chashav yidin tell a person, it happens to be my makam kavua. I have seen yidin say that. So it's not such a shverazach to have to knock a person out of their seat. But if you want to know mitzvah, the din makom kavua, that as the Gemara brought down in Brachas, taf chasim et beis, your enemies fall, and you consider it anuv chasid, if you're within the four amos, which is 8 square feet around that area, so you're pretty good if you're in the next bench, next to your seat. Now, let's segue for a moment. So we see the mechaber is paskening, not like the Rabbeinu Yoina, paskening like the Rosh. And if you look at the Beis Yosef says, being that other big Rishonim hold like the Rosh, that's how we pass in life. Now, we spoke of...
The Mechaber or the Ramah?
The Mechaber, not the Ramah.
Okay.
Now, the Shavuot Shuvah Rosh and Siman Gimel brings down a very interesting case. He's very unclear about what the case is, but if you look at it enough, I think we can formulate what the case is. The story is, you have Reuben and you have Shimon. And Reuben is sitting next to Shimon, and it seems like on the same bench. Otherwise, I don't know how you could learn the Shaila. Now, Reuben wants to make a mechitza between him and Shimon. And Shimon says to Reuben, if you make a mechitza, I'm not in a chashuva place. Because we're in the top bench, we're sitting right next to the Aron Kodesh, that's a chashuva zach. If you make a mechitza, which is sort of breaking that bench, it's making it that now it's two different places. So you, Reuben, are close to the mechitza. You have the Mizrach Van seat. You have the seat right next to the Aron Kodesh, and I don't have the seat right next to the Aron Kodesh if you make this mechitza. And the question was, is Reuven allowed to hold himself back or not? Is Shimon able to hold Reuven from making a mechitza? Again, Reuven is making a mechitza between him and Shimon. I guess they don't like each other so much. And Shimon is claiming by Reuven making this partition, it doesn't say how the partition was, that makes it that now Shimon is not in the highest seat. He's not in the front row seat. So my understanding is, although the Rosh doesn't use the word safsal, that it must be speaking about one bench. If we're on the same bench, so we're right next to the Aron Kodesh, once you make this mechitza, it's going to be like, we're not in the same place. You are having the front row seats, and I'm not. This is the Rosh and Simon Gimel. This is the shayla that he has. And the Rosh answers that the halacha is that Reuven is allowed to make this mechitza. Why? He first says, because any time that you have a shutif, you're able to make a chalukah. If a shutif wants to break up, he's allowed to break up, number one. Number two, he says, you may not say this is even considered a shutfus. Reuven is allowed to do whatever he wants. And not only that, the Rosh uses very sharp words against Shimon. Says the Rosh, it's not the place of the person that gives a person honor. If you're a chashuv guy, then you make your place chashuv. So if you're worried about honor, it's not going to come from the fact that you're sitting close to the Mizrach Van. That's not a taina that you're losing something. You're not losing kavod by not being next to the Mizrach Van, by not being next to the Aron Kodesh. You're losing kavod by the fact that you are not an Adam Mechubud.
Does it make a difference how small the Mechitza is?
He doesn't say.
The reason why I'm asking is because of obscuring his view from the other. Yeah. Maybe that's the reason why he has to.
It's a fair question.
It's just a low mechitza. All right, so what's he complaining about?
It even comes up in construction in the
U.S. Sure, it's true. But the Rosh doesn't speak about how high the mechitza is. Then the Rosh segues into another question, which is very interesting, which is going to bring out how the shayos were asked then about a makam kavur. Let's say a person who has a seat, and he is moirish the seat to his son. You see, in those days, the secret is out. They used to have lifetime seat in the shul. Not that they bought membership. We'll have to see if they bought membership or they didn't. Lifetime seat to the point that the kids took over their seat. And it says the Rosh, in a case of a shul, that you give it to the children. So let's say the person who had the seat, Reuven, chashvayit. But then, his kid is not such a great guy. He's not such a great guy. The Rosh calls him a Ben Paritz. You know what a Ben Paritz is? You know?
I had an interesting case like that. Was in my house to
say he wasn't such a great guy.
So,
he wasn't.
So was his father, the same year I was my father. He came over to me and he said, my father used to sit in the seat. It's his Makan Kavua. My mom, yes, I can take his seat.
So the Rosh is saying,
your father passed away.
Right. And the Rosh says, the halacha is that the kid takes it over. The Rosh says the halacha is that the kid takes it over. And even if the kid is, the father's on the Mizrach Van, and that kid, you don't belong on the Mizrach Van. I mean, you even wear a blue shirt. I mean, you know, you don't have big payers. You don't belong on the Mizrach Van here. Says the Rosh, it doesn't make a difference. The kid takes over the Yerusha and he gets to sit in the front, even though he's not being the Malamach of his father. That's what the Rosh sticks in. Now, the Rosh ends off, the Rosh said a few more pieces, but the Rosh ends off in the last, if you take a look in page 2, the second column, 6 lines from the bottom. The Rosh ends off with something that is not contradictory to what he said before, but it's not what you would have thought of. The Rosh ends off like this: Amna, in a place where they actually sell seats, that they sell the Mizrach Van seat, the place in the front, for more money. That means if you want to go ahead and sit over here, people might pay for the seats in the back more money. But in those days, you wanted to sit in the front. That was a big, big covet. And I will hope we could be machzor atar liyashna that it should be like that. Although I want you to know, my father should be the Zinzenstadt. By the way, I told him, he should come. I'm begging him to come in 2 weeks. I told him that everybody wants to see him. You know, we were talking about a Talmud Chacham who's, not Shivrei Luchas, but we're talking about a person who's, it's very shrewd for a person who's sat his whole life and learned and to not be able to have the energy and the smother that you're able to. It's very, very difficult for a person. Yeah. But I told him everybody's dying for him. And he had a lot of, he felt very good that everybody's dying for him. Everybody, you know, people ask about him. He didn't know that the Olam, I said, yeah, of course I want to have. So you sell it. So like, it costs 100 gold coins for you to sit right next to the Olam Kodesh. Now, by Reuven breaking that machitza, now what's it going to do? Says the Rosh, now you're going to make a mechitza. You know what's going to happen? Shimon's seat's going to be worth less. You're going to make it that now Shimon's seat. You're going to make it that now Shimon's seat is worth less money. If it's a varta, you're making Shimon feel less mechubadik. You tell Shimon grow up. You want to have covet? Make yourself a mechubadik, a person. Don't act like a lowlife. Be a little prestigious. We are a hamburger or something. But if you want him, if the voice of Shimon is saying no, by him making a mechitza, now it's like worth less money, that Reuven is not able to do. A phenomenal, we don't even understand it, that a seat further up is worth more than a lower seat. Anybody here of any shul in the world that's like that today?
Close to the rabbi, it's a good seat.
It's a great seat, 100%. I said, in this shul, We're gonna start doing that. Yes,
Billy.
Yes.
Now let's go to the next tshuva. The next tshuva is in Simon Hay, in Klal Gimel Hay, and he brings down a very interesting case, and it's worthwhile to hear out this case. It's on page 3. We're gonna do the tshuva Sarash. And after the Tshuva Sarash, we're going to say over the Shaila of the Rivash. And then we'll stop here, and then we'll continue next week. The Rosh's case is, they ask, what do you do when you have seats and shul? And we have a problem. What's the problem? Again, people own the seats, and they sell their seats. The seats are literally worth property, like a burial plot. Like a burial plot. Says the person who wrote to the Rosh, the minig was that the person would write his name on his seat. You own your seat, you write Chaim Yankel Bodenstein's seat. That everybody should know it's your seat. And not only that, even though he would write his name on his seat, he wouldn't always sit there.
How did my
own shul have that? The minig liyasham, Shein Baal Hamakim, third line over there on the Rosh, page 3, right column. Sometimes it's here, sometimes not. But he knows he has a seat. What happened? This person, Reuven, different story. Again, in the last, he passed on what he said in the last Shiloh. This is a different story. So Reuven yarshins the seat from his father Yaakov. His father's seat, similar to what happened with Ta'avi. Except by Avi, it wasn't written, his seat on it, over here it's written. And it was written on it for many years, more than the years of Chazakah, meaning more than 3 years it's written. So he has a Chazakah there. After Yaakov dies, Reuven has the seat. Shimon comes, and Shimon says, hold on, I have a document, a star, that this is my seat.
Real estate.
Shimon says, yes, yeah, this is my father's seat, Yitzchak. And Reuven says, what are you talking about? I have a chazaka for my father. This is the shaila. What takes precedence? The signature that you have on the table, Moshe Klein's seat, Lenny Lone will seat, Aryeh Leib's seat, or the star of acquisition? What does the Olam say? It's more than the years of chazaka.
That's the guy who had the name on his sea with the chazaka.
So the Rush goes like this. Rush says, this the minig is that they write the name. It's considered a chazaka. And the reason why they write it is because people aren't makpa to always sit in the same seat that they always do. They just have it. So it comes out. That is considered a star.
Name on the sheet?
It's considered a star. The Lashon of the Rush is, kimoy star. Unbelievable. And says the Rush, what about the star? Does that have a star? He says, yeah. Okay, so you bought it from Yaakov. Maybe Yaakov bought it back from you. If you really bought it from that individual,
change the plaque.
He would have changed the plaque. And if he didn't change the plaque, because the plaque is the main thing. And if you would have bought it for someone else, who bought it from that individual? Well, why didn't anybody change the plaque? But the fact that the name is not written on it, it doesn't make a difference. But then he says, the halacha would be, if it's just a minig to write the name on it, if it's a minig, so then he says the halacha might change. So says the, again, if it's a minig then to write it, so then it's considered a shtar. But now if you look at the last underline of the, on the first, on the second paragraph, so then he said like this. If you know, if it's not a chazaka, the fact that you write your name on it, it's not a thing that they do, then if you knew it was in the cheska of the chazaka of the father, if he sat there 3 years, his name might be before he died. Then it depends. And the star of Yisachar is before 3 years of Yaakov died. Although Makam Bechasus Ruben, Shere Yaakov Bechasus by Gimoshanim, Achar Shekhanu Yisachar, Vatayim Le Yari Shekhanu Avim, Yisachar Shekhanu Maitse. So he's saying is, if Yaakov was here for 3 years, well, you have a star, it's true, but why was he here 3 years? You're the guy squatting 3 years in your place. If you wanted to get him out, get him out. Not like today's laws that you're squatters, you can't kick them out. Twisted Sedaim laws in New York. The guy comes, he sits in your place, you can't kick him out. You have criminals. You can't kick out a criminal. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that a sane person could say this. I just want you to understand. I want to teach the oil something that people don't realize. Sometimes you're very smart people that are so twisted that it's not worth getting into conversation with them, because you're talking to a person who's twisted. There's nothing to do. No, it's not Hamas. We're talking about people who are pro-Hamas.
Yeah, pro-Hamas voters.
To publicly say certain things, don't handle with these people. So he said, in such a situation like that, if Yaakov or Reuben had a chazaka for 3 years, still it's considered a chazaka. But if it wasn't for 3 years, then Shimon is zeicher. So according to him, it goes like this. If the minig is to sign, then it's 100%, it's a chazaka, it's considered a shtar. Even if you wouldn't be a chazaka, it would be fine. Even if you wouldn't be a chazaka, it would be fine. But if the minig is not to write your name, that's not the thing, then it depends how many years was he sitting in the seat. All we see over here is a few things. Number one, we see that what they used to do was, this was a piece of property, that seat. They used to be moirish to their kids. This is a real thing. It wasn't like, And it's makam, and as the Rush said in the previous tshuva, that it doesn't make a difference if you're chashav or not. You get to sit in that seat, even if you're not a chashav person in the mizrach class. It was an everlasting place of piece of property. That's one thing we see over here.
What if you throw in a monkey wrench and say that there's Adam who was there for 80 years in the same shul, and they know for a fact that this person who claims to be shtar, that his father owned that seat, they said this person never had that seat. They said another show.
Okay, then I want to mean something. We're talking about a person who actually sat there. Again, if he has the minig is to write your name, it's considered a shtar. If the minig is not to write your name, so then did he sit there for 3 years? If he sat there for 3 years and there was no error, there was no complaint against him, then the halacha is, says the Rush, that he gets to have it for 3 years. The point is that we're trying to bring out how much people value the place, even though they didn't sit there actually all the time. Now, let's go to the next shiloh, the shiloh of the Rivash. And again, we're going to get this all wrapped up. But let's first see a background of what's going on. The case of the Yivash is a wild case to the point you would think this would never happen. And we wouldn't even bring this down for halacha. Like, why is Yivash saying it? Well, let me tell you something. Not only is it an important case, in Chayshe Mishpat, the Ramah brings down this exact case of the Yivash, which was, you had a wealthy guy. And the wealthy guy bought himself a lot of seats in the shul. This is on page 4 if anybody wants it. He has a lot of places in shul. And he also has a wide open aisle to the places, whatever that means.
So he bought up like all the property.
He bought off the places. Actually, excuse me, it's on page 3, it's on the bottom. That's already in the tshuva. That's already in the response. The she'ela is in page 3 on the bottom, on the corner on the left. He wrote this to Pinchas, the son of Shlam Yeluniel.
To page 3 to page 4.
He writes like this. The Shiloh of the color is that they had this rich guy. He bought many places for very cheap. And then the seat, it went up in price. The seats are worth more money. No, the rabbi's a good rabbi, and everybody wants to come to the shul.
Good real estate move.
Good real estate move.
You should put someone's seat here, rabbi.
And now it goes up. People don't have the money to buy membership. And since they don't have the money to buy membership, people don't want to come to shul. I'm not coming to shul. I don't have the money to pay for it. We see how makmur they were on membership. This is what he writes. He writes like this. Third line over here. The chimush Allah Ashar, since it went up in price, hello to Chiroson. Ashen nosuk achalev asechem to rent of student shul. People don't want to rent. Over here we're seeing that it's renting out. You buy, you own property. You can rent out the seats that you own in the shul, literally like real estate. We didn't know.
Yeah, there should be a limit, you know, 2 seats per member or something.
Well, what's that again? We're talking about what the Rivash said happened. So they said, you know what? Let's add on places in shul. Add on seats. You want to own the seats. You're charging a lot of money for the seats that you own. No problem. To me, it sounds crazy, right? To me, it sounds, you own seats and you're charging a lot of money for people to come to shul.
But these are young Israel for Hashem.
Well, what is with you? No, I own seats in shul and I'm renting out seats like I'm renting out a house. That's the way they used to do it, and I'm charging a lot of money for them, and people don't want to come to shul because of that.
At the museum of Rosh Hashanah, the place is packed, so if you were going to be away 1 year, you could still get your seat, but you pay regular price of the shul, but it could still be your seat that would be subletted for that 1 year.
Right, so similar to that. So people want to add on places. It's an empty place, and then it'll be good. And this way, people are going to be able to come to shul. The wealthy guy gets up, the kama usher, and he says, no, because you're making it, and now people can't walk the aisles. Literally. You're getting in the way of my place, my seat. It's like front seat to the football game. Don't mess my place.
The aisle, taking off the aisle.
Vavim Yisrael Yidai Vavadar Shom. Even if you have a place to be able to move to your seat, it's going to be more narrow. And you would say, this guy's out of his mind, of course, let more seats be there. But no. Now, what do you think the Ravash is going to paskin? You say the Ravash is going to paskin. Kick out this guy out of the shul, right? Of course, make more seats. Well, you're going to see it's going to be the farthest thing from the truth. Rivash is going to paskin that he has a taina and you cannot build any seats in his place. You can't knock it away. And tough nuggies. We're going to have Mirta Shem. I'm going to see about that next week.
What if the rug always sat on the left side of the shul, but then moved his seat to the right side of the shul? And this wealthy guy who originally had a seat on the left side of the shul said, wait a second, I just put the seat on the left side of the shul because I want the seat next to the row.
That's a good question. That's a good question. But in truth, it's a very good question because you have to know. Over here, the Rav sits on the right side. Now, you have to know where the Rav's supposed to sit in the shul. I challenge everyone to look it up and find out.